The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010.
What's up and welcome into a full house on Friday. Fantasy Focus Football Podcast with not one, not two, not three, but four people in the building. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Mike. Special day, we're doing a mock draft here on ESPN.
To be clear, just to be clear, not to worry anyone, there are more than four people in the building. In the entirety of ESPN, where we have over 7,000 people, there are more than four people in the building. There are four people in this room.
Yes, there are four of us in the room. We've got five more behind the glass. We have a 10-team mock draft that is going on today. Our friends Tom Carpenter has joined us. Damian will be hanging out as well. And Pierre Biquet, part of our ESPN fantasy family as well. And
can we set the scene? Are you okay if I do that?
Sure.
So I was just going to say, so in addition to you, Field Yates, and Starfanya Bell and Michael Clay over there, little old me, the rest of our draft, Secret Squirrel Daniel Dopp.
Correct.
Thirsty Kyle.
Yep.
Kyle Soppy, of course, the researcher here of the 06010. If anyone watches the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, and they should, just $5 a month, the Statapillar.
Correct.
The show researcher basically
really
over
the
on
best
the
costume on the show.
On the fantasy show.
Poor,
so the Damian Dabrowski,
poor
the,
Damian
the Statapillar
has to wear it.
Is here and he's going to be taking part. Not Cool Keith, of course.
Yep.
Who's part of the show and edits all of our fantasy content here. And then Tom Carpenter and Pierre Biquet, who are also editors in the fantasy department. Smart fantasy minds, all of them, with the exception of me. So should be a fun draft today, sir.
In the interest of getting it going, Daniel?
Very first thing we're going to do before we start the mock draft is right now, tickets are on sale for our Baltimore show September 17th at Rams Head Live. If you go to ramsheadlive.com, you can purchase tickets there for that show. Going to be a ton of fun. So go get your tickets now before it sells out.
Before it sells out, they are officially on sale, ramsheadlive.com.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Chapin. Most important thing of the day. Happy birthday to my lovely, beautiful wife, Chapin. We are on the clock. Tom Carpenter has the first pick. Tom, without wasting any time, I'm sure we'll make the right one. Oh-ho! He has made it. He has made the pick. Little controversy at pick
little
one here.
Controversy
Tom Carpenter
at pick one.
Starts off.
Let's get Tom on pick one. So what he did not pick Saquon, and why is that, Tom? Why did you not pick Saquon Barkley?
He's still playing for the Giants. Eli Manning is still currently his quarterback. He may have a rookie quarterback. And the Panthers, they've got everything going for him. I'm expecting a monster year, and I'm just willing to step it up.
Not a crazy pick here, but maybe against the grain a little bit here by Tom Carpenter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have Saquon at one. I think we all have Saquon at one. But I've gotten this question, am I crazy if I go McCaffrey or Kamara? And it's like, no. I mean, like, those guys are rock stars, and if you have a, you know, if you just don't have a great feeling, like I would have drafted Saquon if I'd had the number one pick, but, you know, like, you're not losing your league because you drafted Christian McCaffrey or
that's
Alvin
weird.
Kamara.
Exactly. Pierre Biquet passes on Saquon Barkley would be really interesting.
Yes,
Pierre is on the clock here. Time to take and I'm not sure what the deliberation is right now for Pierre.
I have pick eight. You guys should let him drop to me. Just, you know, let's just have an experiment.
Good idea.
Let's see what teams look like.
Right. I'm at 10, so I'll gladly take him at the turn. I'll take him in round two with my second pick if you really let him fall.
So anyway, Pierre about to be timed out.
Pierre's
here on
about
pick
to
two.
Time out. It mystifies me when people nearly time out in the first round of a fantasy draft.
Right.
And this maybe
is
it's dramatic
might,
impact, right?
He might be
he's timing out. Okay. He literally timed out. He has picked
Saquon
Barkley.
Saquon Barkley. Can you imagine?
I am not going to time out. So Saquon Barkley would have been an obvious pick at number 1.01. Tom went against the grain, as we mentioned. I have the third pick and did not take long for me to press draft because I think with Ezekiel Elliott right now sort of hanging in the balance for week one. As a matter of fact, last night, Jerry Jones said we have to accept that we are not going to have or might not have Zeke for a couple of games. Then it made things easy for me, Alvin Kamara, who you can make a case, as it were, as Matthew said, for the number one overall pick. I think he's the best shot to lead the NFL in total touchdowns this season.
He certainly
but
could.
Keith was comfortable taking
Keith
it.
Coming up fourth. Yeah. What do you got, Keith?
I'm going to take Zeke Elliott.
Okay.
I'm not as concerned, and I feel like it's worth it. I don't really like a lot of the running backs after that four spot enough to take him that early, and I figure I can get receivers on the backside, and I'll figure it out at running back. Happy to have Zeke.
Welcome to the squad.
There you go. One thing I'll say is we talked about this on the fantasy show yesterday on ESPN Plus, and just, you know, the point is like, you think about 2017 when he missed six games, right? He was suspended for six games. He was the 12th best running back in fantasy when he missed six games. If he were to miss four games this year and you gave him his career average in terms of fantasy points, he would have been a top 10 fantasy running back based on last year's scoring. So there's, even with missed games for Zeke, there's still potential there. Damian Dabrowski just made his pick. Statapillar, who'd you take?
Whoa.
David Johnson. I'm with you. I'm buying the hype on Cliff Kingsbury, and, you know, the usage is going to be there, so I'm in on it.
Okay, David Johnson goes five. Seems to be close to consensus at pick five.
Yep,
now.
That influenced
right.
me.
Mm-hmm. All right, Starfanya, what do you got?
I took DeAndre Hopkins because I assumed
the wide receiver run begins.
I assumed that DeAndre Hopkins might go with Satterpiller. I was prepared to take David Johnson because those are the running backs I would take in the first round. And if David Johnson was gone, I was going wide receiver. And DeAndre Hopkins is my number one wide receiver.
I feel like I've banged, when we started this process, like at the beginning of the year, like, or the beginning of the preseason, David Johnson was a second round pick. And I've been banging the drum for David Johnson so long.
I'm happy that it's ADP.
It's not just me. I think other people have joined as well, but I'm very happy about that. Am I on the clock?
You are.
You're going to time out. Just kidding.
Devontae Adams went to Packers fan Kyle Soppy.
That'd be done. Top receiver on the board, most consistent guy out there. Aaron Rodgers throwing more than 25 touchdown passes this season.
More than 25. Hot take there from Kyle.
For Rodgers.
I'm kidding. That's where he was last year. Kyle goes to Devontae Adams, three straight years of 10-plus touchdowns. All right, Matthew.
Yeah.
Clock is ticking on you. What do you got?
Well, you know what? Again, it's a 10-team league, so there's the free agent pool is going to be a little bit more robust than in some of the deeper leagues here, and so I'm going to take the guy that's been the number one running back in fantasy the last 2 years. Give me Todd Gurley.
Wow.
The second.
Wow.
Yeah. That's bold.
That is bold.
I mean, he's been going to round two as of late, so he may have fell to you, but you can't argue with the upside.
You can't argue with the upside there. Again, I don't think all touches are created equal. I've said this before. 15 touches in a Sean McVay offense, especially he's going to get the red zone work. He's going to get the goal line work. They're going to get him out in passes here. I understand the concern about his knees, but ultimately looks healthy now. Unlike Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley's going to play week one.
This is true.
Yeah, Todd Gurley will play week one.
So anyway.
Let's chat in week, you know.
Five. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Who is up now? Daniel Dopp.
I am on the clock, and Matthew made it easy for me because with the lack of depth at the running back position, with Todd Gurley going, I probably wouldn't have taken him there anyways. So that helped me out. I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell here.
Mm, interesting. Other running backs on the board right now included Joe Mixon and James Conner and Dalvin Cook. Any worries whatsoever, Daniel? Is this one of those picks that you make and somewhat uneasily, or you feel good about this one?
I feel good about it. You know, it's crazy to think again, you know, we've talked about this, that Todd Gurley would go at 10 and that I would be like, well, I don't know. There's some hesitation there, but I love what Le'Veon Bell is going to be the workhorse guy in this offense. I think Sam Darnold in that Jets offense is going to be better. We've talked about how Adam Gase is going to have a more up-tempo offense than what we saw from him in Miami. And so I'm just excited about overall a growing offense in which he can continue to be a pass catcher and be the workhorse.
Mike Clay for two.
Yes, let's go. I'm going to take a pair of wide receivers here. Michael Thomas, who I don't think we talk about this enough, set the NFL record for catch rate last season for a running back, for a wide receiver or tight end. He's fantastic. He's been a top seven fantasy receiver all three of his seasons in the league, so that's an easy pick at the turn. And I'll follow up with Daniel's favorite player, one Julio Jones, who scored touchdowns last season, had eight of them. He actually delivered in that category for us.
Yeah, Daniel.
Finished fourth in fantasy points at wide receiver. He has not finished worse than seventh since 2013. So I have two very high floor, high ceiling wide receivers at
the
turn.
You are comfortable going no running back.
I'm fine with that at this spot. A lot of the, you know, we went a little heavy there, right? So there's nothing that really stands out. I'm not going to reach on anybody. I'm a little lower than most on Nick Chubb because I think Kareem Hunt's going to play a lot in the second half, so I'm happy to go with two stud receivers here.
Daniel, you're right back on the clock, my friend.
Yeah, you bet. It's weird that Mike Clay said he's not going to reach anybody, and yet he just took Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying, guys? I'm going to take Joe.
I know you want him.
I'm going to take Joe Mixon here at the top of the second. Again,
reach.
Just the idea that I can get a workhorse running back, a guy that, with the lack of depth at the position, to have two guys that are going to be the studs on their team, especially with this being a PPR league, I'm all in on having two big running backs off
and
the top.
The clock heads right back to Matthew Berry.
Yeah, you know what? Look, I'm tempted by one of the big receivers that are still remaining here. You know, I went Todd Gurley, but honestly, I am buying into the workload that James Conner has been getting this preseason here. I think he's going to be a true workhorse back. Give me some James Conner, who I think is going to have a monster year behind, again, one of the best offensive lines in football for one of the best offensive lines. He's going to be a true three-down back. Not really worried really about Jalen Samuels or Benny Snell cutting into his workload. It starts getting pretty dicey at the running back position, and I think I'll be able to get a decent wide receiver in round three. So, yeah, give me James Conner.
All right, Kyle Soppy is on the clock following Matthew. We'll see whether he wanted. Oh, nope, he got those running back. What do you got, Kyle?
Yeah, give me Dalvin Cook. I'm not leaving the first two rounds without a running back. Got to stay in the division. He averaged over 5.5 yards per carry in December last year and 4 catches. I'll take that versatility all day.
Feels like a player that has boosted his stock this preseason. That 85-yard touchdown run against Arizona last Saturday boosted some people's confidence. Stefania, you are back.
10 running backs.
I know. I'm aggravated because David Johnson is who I would have taken in the first round. And thanks, Kyle. I thought we were friends. You just took Dalvin Cook. But it must be because
we can still be friends.
I've been so high on him for this year. Unlike last year. I won't say anything to the guy sitting next to me. But I'm going to take a running back now because I got one that I've been eyeing who's available. And if Dalvin Cook was gone, I was going to take Nick Chubb. And look, what can I say? We already know that Nick Chubb is going to get a ton of work up there. And, you know, interesting news with Kareem Hunt not playing last night, coming off a core surgery. I think the assumption has been, okay, we won't see him till week 10, but he'll be back and he'll be fine. Yes, there is enough time for him, if everything goes smoothly, to come back. But some guys do struggle initially after that type of procedure. So I wouldn't assume that he's all of a sudden going to threaten Chubb's workload.
Love it. There you go. Nick Chubb off the board. We get right back now to Keith Lipscomb. What do you got? Damian jumped in for pick before Keith.
Well, you wanted Nick Chubb. But,
good.
You know, Stefania, I guess you got me back for the David Johnson thing, but I think there's a clear top seven at wide receiver, so being able to get one of those guys in the mid-second round, I'm going to do it every time.
Okay, there you have it. So you got a Brown after a Brown.
He takes
Keith,
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah,
Odell
Brown.
Jr., yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Will you keep the Browns run going, Keith?
I will not.
Okay. Feels a little dicey in your part.
Jarvis Landry.
You really think David Njoku's making it back to you in the third? I think you should reach here.
I was going to go running back and take Dontrell Hilliard, but I'll wait. I'm going to go Juju Smith-Schuster, and it's a tiebreaker for me between him and Tyreek Hill. I think what it is here, my tiebreaker, is that Tyreek Hill could potentially find trouble. It's really my only tiebreaker there. Obviously, in a PPR situation, I do think Juju will catch the ball more. So I side with Juju, but just also a little bit with the possibility of the off-the-field stuff with Tyreek, I thought I would be safer.
With my second pick, after taking Alvin Kamara in the first round, I go back to a player that I think could lead the NFL in receiving touchdowns this season. That is Tyreek Hill, the best big play threat in the NFL, regardless of position, fastest wide receiver in football. Any of the concerns that you may have had about this Chiefs offense going into this season seem to be alleviated. They've got great depth at wide receiver, but it starts with Tyreek Hill, to me. The second round pick that I was most interested in. What do you have, Daniel?
Well, Field, I want to tell you guys about DraftKings. Is that okay?
Okay, but gotcha.
Go ahead.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Football season is coming up quick, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is celebrating with huge week one contests. It all starts when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season with a Thursday night single game showdown, and $2.5 million in total prizes is up for grabs. New users who sign up today on DraftKings.com/FFF will receive a free shot at $1 million of the top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at $1 million payday. It's simple. Just draft 6 players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. But you don't have to wait until week one to get in the action. Right now, all users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. So go to DraftKings.com/FFF to get in on the action for a limited time. Both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500, and as an extra special week one bonus, new users who sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF will receive a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Don't forget, that's DraftKings.com/FFF for all the new and existing users to claim your special offer. Only at DraftKings, make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And Matthew, why don't you give us a quick update on the picks that have happened during that live read?
Just two of them during that live read. Well done, Daniel.
Just two of them, and we did have two extra picks. It's not like we had three picks and Field was trolling him by saying only two expert picks. No, we actually only had two picks. So Pierre takes Travis Kelce there, and he writes in the chat, we don't have him on a microphone, but just lots of depth at wide receiver. He'd rather get the best tight end in the world, which he does in Travis Kelce. So consistent. Travis Kelce. And then Tom Carpenter goes Antonio Brown, not worried about the foot, not worried about the helmet, not worried about the new quarterback. AB off the board as the last pick in round two.
And by the way, Tom follows that up with the first pick of round three being Kerryon Johnson. Tom is also from Michigan, like our good buddy Daniel Dopp. Pierre Paquet takes Devontae Freeman, a player that we discussed at pretty good length yesterday. I am now on the clock and the player. No one has been banging the drum more for this guy than me this preseason. The rookie, almost unheralded at this point. No one's talking about him.
Oh, I know.
Josh Jacobs. Oh. My ride or die. My ride or die in fantasy
That's
this
called
season.
Sniping.
Is he your RB9?
Did you really want him or are you just... Are you just poking the bear?
No, who's been talking about Josh Jacobs more than I have this season?
True.
I had the chance. I have a friend who actually interviewed Josh Jacobs, and you guys may not know this, but Josh Jacobs actually played quarterback in high school. And at one point during an interview, who was that?
I don't remember.
Was it NFL Live?
Matt Barry.
It was a college football live special.
Yes. Right.
And he was talking to Josh Jacobs, and he's like, yeah, so like, I heard you play quarterback in high school. Have you thought about talking to John Gruden about that? He was like, oh, don't you worry. The package is already in. So there's my story about Josh Jacobs.
So
someone secondhand. I don't want to claim it as my own.
That's the best story I've ever heard.
Might have been Kevin and Gandhi. It might have been on the 6
p.m. what it was.
Anyways,
thanks for sharing that story.
I hadn't heard that
first
before.
Time. First exclusive look at that story for you guys.
You know what? You should tell Matthew Berry about that.
Matthew. So how about this on Josh Jacobs? So he played college high school quarterback. And so, have you heard this story before or not?
We're live, right? I can't curse.
You can curse. You can't curse.
I mean, you could.
That's accurate.
You could.
But
you do not.
Yep.
Yeah. F you, Field. F you.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm coming up, down for you.
Coming up after Field's pick, we have Keith Lipscomb. It is third round, pick 8. Keith, where did you go here?
I went with Damian Williams, begrudgingly. I would prefer Jacobs for sure. With having Zeke already, this is where sometimes the pitfalls of taking a Zeke, you know, you need to get another running back. I do like him as a player, but I do have concerns about potential workload. You just never know. So we'll find out. But it's a high-powered offense. I'll roll with it.
Yeah, I like it. Obviously.
I would prefer Josh Jacobs there, but, you know, my ride or die. But, do whatever you please. Stefania, you're back on the clock. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Damian sniped in there. Damian, I like Damian.
Damian's
on the clock, because I'm of the same way. You make your pick. You make your pick before you've actually gotten to the clock. Damian, what do you got?
Yeah, just trying to help you guys out here. Mike Evans, you know, going with another wide receiver. I strongly considered George Kittle, but I was a little scared of what Stefania might do if I did that, so.
Yeah, fair.
Fair
enough. Understood.
Stefania's now on the clock, or Stefania has now made her pick. And you got an honorary member of your, like, in your own, you're not actually a fan of this team, but you really like, you've always loved this player.
I've loved Keenan Allen. I've long been a fan of Keenan Allen. I've long been a Keenan Allen apologist, even when other people were writing him off saying his career was never going to get off the ground because of injuries. And lo and behold, he proved all those folks wrong. And Keenan Allen, very well established as the preferred target for the Chargers. I love him. He is he's the receiver I would have taken here. I mean, this is falling exactly how I would have wanted it. And yes, I love that Damian had to think twice. I love that he talked himself out of George Kittle because I thought I would take him, because that means the Jedi mind tricks are working in the draft room.
There you have it. Keep things moving along here. We have Kyle on the clock. Kyle's taking a sweet time. I'm surprised by that.
I'm just buying you time. You know, we like to keep things moving and get the talk. And, you know, I was reading articles. Somebody's been talking Chris Carson up a lot. I don't know who was doing it, but I read it somewhere. One of these rogue sites. So I had to go with him before it got too late. Didn't want to risk losing
Seattle
him over the turn
com.
Here.
I think I heard Evan Longoria talking about him on a Facebook Live. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I just want to tell people at home that literally there's nothing more torturous than having to do a fantasy draft with a bunch of people that have heard you do nothing but talk about fantasy football for 6 weeks, for the last 6 weeks straight. So, yeah.
Why is that? I
screw
don't
you guys, I'm out of here.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Do my
before,
best
before you leave,
screw you guys,
I'm out of here. But pretty good. That was good hand movement right there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Oh,
you're
so
on the
I'm
clock.
On the clock.
Yeah.
On the clock. Well, I really hope I actually, because I went running back in the first two rounds, which I didn't expect to do, but I didn't expect Connor to follow me in the second round. So with Mike Evans and Keenan Allen, I really hoped one of them would fall. but I'm just going by my board. Next guy on my board, guy who was the number one wide receiver for a number of weeks last year, Adam Thielen. Look, I know.
Feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously we know they've gone to a run-heavy offense, but they're still going to pass some, and I believe Adam Thielen is due for another very big year as the number one target for Kirk Cousins.
Keep things moving here with Daniel Dopp and then Mike Clay for two.
Yeah, I know what I feel like I should do here, and that's not take a third running back because that strategy has backfired on me in the past.
Right.
Many times.
But you can't learn. You're a glutton for punishment.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. There was an article that I read that said you should not take George Kittle in the third round. It is just not worth that value. True. I think Ken, was that Ken Dobby that sent that out?
No, yeah, it's not Ken Dobby.
I think it was
Ken Dobby. It was a special to ESPN.com.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Right, yeah. Right.
But shout out to Ken Dobby getting some love on the show today. Didn't expect to hear his name. We love Ken Dobby.
But I love the idea, like we talked about before I get to the spot with Mike where you never know what's going to happen at the turn. I'm in on George Kittle this year. I think that to be able to get one of these top three tight ends, I still have really good wide receiver depth after two picks. I'm not worried about who I'm going to be able to get there. So all in on George Kittle at the back end of the third here.
Mike Clay keeps it rolling with a pair of picks.
Yes, I do. So I want wide receiver to start. I'm going to jump in and get a running back here with Leonard Fournette. A little worried about the efficiency so far in his career, but he's been top 12 in fantasy points per game both of his seasons in the league. When he's out there, when he's healthy, he's been very effective. So he's going to be my RB1. And then I go with Amari Cooper, who last season, when he went to Dallas, the efficiency was terrific. He was giving you top 10 fantasy numbers. He was wide receiver 9 after he joined that team. He enjoyed a 25% target share. That was a career high. He's going to be a featured part of a Cowboys offense that is better than last season, and I think Dak Prescott will set a career high in passing touchdowns. So
personally
I love his number one weapon.
Personally would have gone with Cooper before Fournette, but I'll let it pass in this case.
Understood. Question for Stefania. Do you need both feet to be a wide receiver to run?
I think it's preferred.
Is it preferred to have both feet? Interesting choice there. Yeah. Any concerns on Amari Cooper real quickly?
No, I actually feel pretty good about it. I mean, obviously there's a little one, but it's not overwhelming.
Mild plantar fascia. All right, moving along here to Daniel Dopp.
Like a mild concussion. It's a minor plantar fascia.
Here's where I am. I went two running backs with the first two picks. I went with a tight end in my third round, which means my number one wide receiver this year is going to be Julian Edelman. I really like Julian Edelman this year. The idea that, he's averaging a massive 9.4 targets per game over the past five seasons, and he has reached 8 targets in 9 of 12 games in 2018. Obviously, he's the guy that Tom Brady throws to.
Played last night. Got a little bit banged up with his hand. Does not feel like it's a recurrence of what happened.
Not worried about that.
Previously this summer. Matthew, you're up now, bud.
Yeah, I really was hoping Edelman would fall to me. So screw you, Secret Squirrel.
Sorry, buddy.
I hate all of you.
You are going to swear by the end of the podcast.
I probably am. I probably am. It's whatever. Who cares? I'm going to go with, again, so I sort of like, guys aren't, I went at least a wide receiver here with high floor guys, right? And so I think Thielen, who finished the year as a top 6 fantasy wide receiver last year, I believe, or top 7. I'm going to go with another guy who has an extremely high floor, and that's Robert Woods, who had 12 different games last year with 70 more receiving yards. He tied Julio and DeAndre Hopkins for the most in the NFL in that category. 10 different games with 14 or more fantasy points in 2018. Look, only Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Julio, and Juju had more. So just there's a very high floor. Look, I have Robert Woods and Todd Gurley. Apparently, I'm in on the Rams' offense there. There's an offense to pick to be in on. Give me one that's coached by Sean McVay.
All right, moving along to Kyle Soppy, who just took
Brandon Kirk. Yeah, I'm with the Rams, too. There's worse offenses to invest in. One of the best deep ball receivers in over 1,000 yards and 65 catches in 4 straight seasons. Weekly production, hit or miss, but I'll take the overall numbers and know what I'm getting.
Moving along here to star Fanya Bell, who just took her 4th pick of the draft.
Yes, I took Aaron Jones. So I wanted another running back here before we got too far down. Melvin Gordon right in the same ballpark according to our rankings, but I'm still not comfortable with Melvin Gordon, even though I think that there's a very good chance that he shows up week one. I'm just not comfortable taking him that early. Aaron Jones is going to be the workload back in Green Bay. I'm not really worried about that. So I think I think everything offensively is more in sync for Green Bay this year with healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Free what? Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I saw that hashtag somewhere. Did you
yeah,
see that
I'm sure.
Anywhere? You see that on social media?
Yes, I have.
I saw that. One of the Hasselbeck brothers has
yeah,
that.
I'm yeah, sure.
Damian Nebraska.
So I went tight end here, went with Zach Ertz. I'm actually agreeing with kind of what we're hearing, that he's probably going to take a step back just with all the other guys in Philadelphia. But in the middle of the fourth round here, I just think it's good value and will let me to kind of target those other positions when everybody else starts going after tight end.
All right,
the volume will go down, but he's still going to get a ton of work on one of the best offenses in football. Mm-hmm. There, I agree with you. A round before, I think, is too much, but middle of round four, no issue with Ertz.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
So he follows that. Keith does with Chris Godwin.
Ooh.
Young ascending player.
Yeah, exactly. I think just a guy that I thought, you know what? I have him ranked higher than these guys in this group here. There's a group of Galladay, Hilton, Kupp, Lockett, and Jeffrey, and Mike Williams, and DJ Moore. They're all in this 10 range here. And I just think that Godwin has the most upside of the guys.
Personally, I've been reading a lot of like, dislike, prefer, unprefer columns this summer. One player that frequently occurs.
Warm,
incredible.
Cold.
When do I get to quit the show? Can warm, I just cold, can yeah. I just leave? When do I get
that.
To leave?
That's a great article. Care About writes that one, doesn't he?
No, again, this might, no. I think this might have been someone's personal Tumblr page. It might have been, no. Oh, it was Patreon.
No, little,
it was Patreon.
It was a Patreon, that's right.
I subscribed to a Patreon. Anyways,
literally somebody
Stephon
does,
Diggs.
Literally somebody does write a column called Like, Dislike, FYI.
Like, Dislike, right. So I did Stephon Diggs. By yep. the way, quick, really important note here. For those that are watching this live, they are yep. flashing our teams as we go yep. by, right. round by round. They picked the best headshots imaginable for each
look
one of us.
Field.
Everybody is looking
Field's
handsome.
Looks great.
Stephon is looking beautiful. I mean,
Field's
like,
teeth are super
Daniel's
white.
Looking
look at
like
that.
Almost like he's like performing at an opera. Like his chin is up in the air and his big beaming smile. I'm impressed.
And it's sort of interesting, by the way, in terms of roster construction. So like Diggs, I actually have Diggs ranked ahead of Robert Woods, but right. I'd already picked Adam Thielen. I didn't want to go all in on the Vikings pass
go all
game.
In on the Rams instead, right?
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, that's a team that's going to pass a lot more.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And I have a running back and a wide receiver there as opposed to the two wide receivers. But, right. So that's why I didn't go with Diggs, but certainly like the pick there. Field Yates.
Thank
After
you,
that, Pierre goes with my little Cooper Kupp. And then Tom Carpenter at the end of round four, top of round five, goes David Montgomery and Babytron, Kenny Galladay.
David Montgomery, as I said yesterday in the podcast, no one has improved their stock more this preseason, it feels like, than David Montgomery. Kind of confirmed the Bears' belief in him as just an exceptional, unbelievable talent, not just as a runner, but also as a thrower. I'm about to break my own rules. You know why? Because I feel like living a little. Well, should I say my pick, Daniel, or should we get into the Melvin Gordon thing for a second?
Let's get into the Melvin Gordon thing real quick, and then you make your pick.
Okay,
sounds I know
good.
Where you're going.
Yeah, cool. Melvin Gordon was just taken at pick, the second pick of the fifth round. Pierre Bacquet, who chimes in, go big or go home. As my running back three, Gordon is a steal. How about that, guys? Gordon going to pick 52.
Yeah, I was,
42.
I was
I can't
keeping
count.
An eye on him. I was yeah. keeping an eye on him. I'm coming up here in a few picks. I mean, there's reports all over the place. He wants to show up. He's not going to show up. He's still not with the team. So obviously a little riskier, but once he comes back, you have yourself an RB1.
Yeah. So, yeah, especially, by the way, I mean, again, we're at the top of round five. So
right.
to get somebody with the upside and potential of Melvin Gordon in the top of round five in a 10-team league, certainly great pick.
Make a case. I think probably the best stack in fantasy football this year is Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, and I have now completed said stack. I always,
go.
Always be patient on quarterbacks. But when people ask me Patrick Mahomes, typically my answer is, I think if somewhere in the fourth round, I start to consider it. Well, here we are at the top of round five, third pick to be precise, 43rd overall, and I took young Mahomes. Fourth round, third pick, 43. It's about how many touchdowns I think he'll throw this season. Mike's looking at me like, ugh.
Also, I think it's really important. Like, this is one of those things. This is why we do mock drafts, Field. Why not take a Mahomes here in the fifth, see how your team turns out, and then that gives you, when you get to your draft time, whether you like how your team construction is.
I think I'm winning this league is what it comes down to.
I actually don't mind it. This is the spot.
Hey!
Right. There's a line. There's a line where he should go. I mean, he is at, what, a second or third round ADP? That's too early. Round five, there's a tipping point, right, where
yeah.
these quarterbacks become values, and Mahomes obviously has tremendous upside, so I'm with you on
you
that
You got
one.
The Mike Clay seal
no.
of approval.
Let's go.
No.
Keith, your chance here.
Speaking of seals of approval, the chat room loves Field's team, by the way.
Well,
and they hate mine. So
Do
I'm going to
yours?
Continue yeah. to hate mine as I take some ordinary dude that people don't love, and that's Mark Ingram, who I think is not getting enough respect this draft season for a team that's going to be run heavy.
You know what? I like your team. I like your team.
I love the chat room.
But you know what? I wish the chat room could see. Or well, maybe the chat room can see, but on we can't tell where people are picking in the draft. So that's another thing too. It's like, oh, the all these top stars. Sometimes if you're picking later in the draft, your strategy is going to be so much different. So you can't see who's picking where. Field at pick 3 has a lot of good options.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, so moving on from Keith to Damian, who takes a running back.
Statapillar, what do you got?
So I need to take my second running back. I went with Sony Michel. You know, we'll see if they use him a little bit more in the pass game this year, but I know the New England's going to run. I know they're going to score a lot of touchdowns. It gives them a really nice floor.
There you go. Look, Sony Michel, I think he's got a legit chance to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns
this year.
Did we
ever find a prop bet 22-1 where the odds for Sony Michel to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns this season?
I like that. I would take that all day, every day.
Got a chance.
If I lived in a state where gambling was legal, of course.
And a 2-1 chance Stefania crushes this next pick. What say you, Stefania?
Oh, am I up?
You are, Princeton, and you've got 12 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
Eight.
There's
seven.
No stopping.
Six.
Oh, wow.
Five.
That's going to be
wow.
tough.
Four.
There's always
three.
One, isn't there, guys?
Oh, my God.
There's always
so
one.
Oh. You got it.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Wow. Stefania.
That was a panic pick right there.
Stefania just took Kiki Cutie in the sixth round. What?
But I wanted Deshaun Watson. He is a quarterback that I really like. And I admit, I was going back and forth between, do I take another receiver? I was looking at who was available and trying to evaluate just where everybody was, relatively speaking, my rankings, and trying to make fun of all of you and do analysis at the same time. So I decided I'd better hurry up and get Watson because I didn't want to wait until the full wraparound and take a chance on missing him. And by the way, I've got a little stack going with Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins.
Not bad.
There you go.
It's not Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, but it's not bad.
Thirsty Kyle.
We'll
on
see.
The clock.
Yeah, give me Tyler Lockett. Increase in volume.
That's exciting.
Yeah, why not? Offsets the, you know, the natural regression that takes place here. Puts up what he did last year.
There you go. So, you know, for me, I feel really good about my running backs, my wide receivers. You know, I have Woods, and I have Adam Thielen. So looking for a little bit more upside here. And I think, look, I get it because of the retirement of Andrew Luck. But I don't think T.Y. Hilton drops nearly as much as some other people do. So to get him at the end of round 5, basically, T.Y. Hilton, who I still have as a top 20 wide receiver, who still, you know, was a viable fantasy wide receiver under Jacoby Brissett, and my expectation is Brissett's a lot better this year than he was in 2017. Yeah, give me T.Y. Hilton, who should still command a target share of around 23-24% on a Colts team that is still going to throw. So I'm very happy to get T.Y. here at the end of round 5.
There you have it. Daniel Dopp is back on the clock. What say you, Daniel?
I'm frustrated because T.Y. Hilton is who I wanted there.
Good.
And of course, Maddie
good.
B.
I'm glad I frustrated
him.
You.
Yeah.
All you guys quoting my stuff and, you know, screwing me over.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stealing my stuff.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm used to getting stuff stolen, you know, by others, but not by
us.
My colleagues.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
so
good.
I'm gonna make a decision here, and I don't really like it, but I don't.
You
so,
said that twice already.
All right, calm down, Stefania. So I've got another wide receiver I need to fill. I got Le'Veon Bell, Joe Mixon, Julian Edelman, and George Kittle so far. Looking, I don't like Alshon. I don't really care for Mike Williams here.
What?
Don't want DJ Moore. Like, I get it. I mean, I'm nervous about all of them.
TJ Hawkinson it
why?
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take
Ty Johnson.
I'm going to take Derrick Henry. I'm going to fill out my flex
Michael
position.
Nice.
I will be able to. I understand that there is a huge possibility with the teams that the Titans are playing this year where they're just going to score a ton of points and they're going to have to be more pass heavy.
Yeah.
But being able to get a backup running back for both Joe Mixon and Le'Veon Bell that I can use as my flex that will still give me a consistent workload on those weeks, and I can have him in there on regular weeks when I don't have a wide receiver I want in the flex spot. Give me Derrick Henry there in the sixth round.
There you have it, Mike Clay for two.
Not where he should go. I just don't like Derrick Henry this year.
I don't either.
I don't either.
But
we'll get into that later. I'm gonna take a guy that's first at running back in targets, second in reception, second in receiving yards, and easily first in touchdown catches with 19 again over the past 4 seasons. The reigning RB7 in fantasy PPR, James White, who's going to continue to have a huge role in this Patriots offense. So that's my first pick at the turn. My other one is a guy that I'm trying not to miss on in drafts at all this season if I could possibly get him. It's a guy that I think could be the next elite fantasy tight end. It's O.J. Howard, number one in yards per reception and yards per target each of the past 2 seasons. All he has to do is stay healthy. I mean, he was giving you solid tight end one numbers last year without a ton of volume. He can get that now with Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson gone. Tremendous touchdown upside, size, skill, pedigree. Was a first round pick. I love OJ Howard, so I'm going to take him now. I don't think he's going to come back around to me at the end of round seven.
He was going to be my pick. He wouldn't have come back to you, and I'm aggravated that you took him.
All right, let the tight end run start.
Okay, on the clock again. I am looking here with the second pick. With the second pick of the sixth round, I think I'm going to go DJ Moore.
There you go.
The idea that I can have a guy who is the number one wide receiver in this Cam Newton-led offense.
Interesting, because just a minute ago, you were like, I don't really want DJ Moore.
That was in the fifth. I did not want him in the fifth, but in the sixth, I feel like the value was really good.
Okay. Two picks ago.
He's about perception.
That's how it works.
It looks better on the board if I took him in the sixth than in the fifth. Here's the thing. Picks apart.
Young kid, obviously, had a year to be able to have some time with Cam Newton. He is the number one there in that offense. We've heard that Cam Newton has been having a better deep ball all throughout preseason. Really excited about what the possibility and upside of this is. But this is part of the risk of ever going the way that I did. Like, I don't love the idea that DJ Moore is my number two wide receiver.
No, no one does. But that's all right.
Thanks, Matthew.
No one does. I'm on the clock now. And sometimes this might be a little bit of a reach, but I think by the end of the year it won't be. And look, fantasy's fun, right? Fantasy's fun. You want to root for your
speak
team.
For yourself.
Oh, here we go.
Call business.
Darius Geis, baby. Darius Geis, come on in. My number three running back. Yeah. Obviously, there is some risk there with Geis, but I think he looks unbelievably healthy. And I know what the Redskins want to do offensively. They want to run the ball, play conservatively, play good defense, not turn it over. Like, they're obviously not going to throw a ton with Case Keenum or Dwayne Haskins or Colt McCoy, whoever is the starting quarterback. I think all three see some time this year. So Darius Geis, who, again, a full year removed from the ACL, looked awesome in the preseason game, a true three down back. He's going to catch more passes than people realize. Give me some Darius Geis as my number three running back.
Wow, steal Dalvin one of my, Cook 2.0. If he's a three down back, that's what I'm worried about.
I know you are concerned. But you are a hater. Yater's going to yate. I get it.
She's a yater, not a hater.
Anyway, but whatever. It's the middle of round
Redskins
six.
Fan, you so take Darius Geis. Weird. Funny how that works. Anyways, yeah. Dean Bell's on the clock.
Oh, gosh.
After Soppy.
Kyle, why don't you... Yeah. Kyle, what did you do here?
Yeah, I'll best to find a little bit of time. Hunter Henry for me at tight end. I don't want to miss that second tier. He scored on nearly 15% of his career catches. I'm chasing touchdowns at the position, knowing what it is.
Can I ask a question here? Because O.J. Howard and Hunter Henry both went before Evan Engram. Do you guys agree with that decision? Because usually I feel like I've been seeing Engram ahead of them.
I have Engram higher. I have Engram at four.
So everyone,
but I have O.J. Howard at five. I have Henry at six, and I have them all in the same tier. So they're.
But I understand the concerns about the Giants' offense in general.
Sure.
I think Ingram's a high floor pick. I mean, who are they going to throw to near the goal line? Right. Who are they going to throw to in general? I mean, Ingram is going to be a feature target, so I have no problem. I just think Howard has that elite ceiling that Ingram doesn't. So
sure.
It's a wash for me. They're very close, but I have no problem with anybody in that tier. I take Jared Cook.
No photo for Thirsty Kyle on his.
Interesting one here. Well, we'll get a high Kyle ad shot. He's about to get married. He'll have plenty of shots in that.
Plenty
event.
Of pictures coming. Don't worry.
All right, who's up?
I'm
looking at Thirsty Kyle's team.
A very interesting decision here, Stefania. Who'd you go with?
I know. You know what? You know how Daniel was saying you use mock drafts to sort of see what you like and see how your team shakes out? So I'm very intrigued by Josh Gordon this year. I'm just intrigued. And I don't really know how this is going to play out with him at the Patriots, but he's got, I think, a ton of upside with him partnering with Tom Brady. And he's coming in not injured this year. I mean, that was an issue last year. He was coming off a hamstring injury when he came over from Cleveland, and he was ramped up very carefully. The fact that they got him active and in practice so quickly tells me that he's gonna hit the ground running, so to speak. So I went sort of passed up a couple guys I have ranked consistently in that area, but I took him for the upside, and I want to see how my draft looks at the end. Why are you laughing?
Because no one's talked about him whatsoever at all. And Keith just made a very interesting pick. Keith, what'd you do?
I'm out of here.
I had to take Evan Engram at this point. The reason why I had to take him, though, is because Stefania took Josh Gordon, who I was going to take, and then Damian took Marlon Mack, who I was going to take. So
did you take Kittle at the beginning of this draft or no?
No, this is my first tight end.
Okay. Yeah. Your first tight end is Evan Engram, and I followed that up because, again, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but There's an excellent chance that Vance McDonald has a monster breakout year this year for the Steelers.
I'm so annoyed.
We're talking production. The guy's going to be just a vacuum in the red zone. Absolutely love his upside there. Played it right. Like, you know, the guy just checks all the boxes. So with my seventh round pick, my sixth round
the stats
pick,
you're looking for is that there's over 200 targets available from this guy. Big Ben was a was top 10 last year in terms of tight end targets. I believe he actually led the NFL in terms of throws to
my
the end zone.
Ridiculously
stacked.
Anyways,
so his team is stacked because he's stealing all my guys.
Can I divert you from your let me do a favor. Let me do a favor. When was the last time you really slept great? Isn't it strange that we'll try just about anything?
I think the day before I started doing this podcast with you was the last day I slept.
It actually could be time for a new mattress. If you aren't getting the quality sleep you deserve, you should check out all the Sleep Number beds right now at Sleep Number stores. It's the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale, and queen mattresses start at only $899. Great deal right there. Do you wish your mattress could be firmer or softer? That's what the Sleep Number bed is famous for. You can adjust each side so it's just right for both of you. If you're married, if your wife, Chapin, happy birthday. She might like the softer mattress. How about a bed that helps keep you asleep? The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts so you're effortlessly comfortable all night. Will you love it? Just ask J.D. Power. Sleep Number has been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. Come in during the biggest sale of the year and for a limited time, save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/FFF. Sleep great. Treat yourself. All right, moving along here. What do we got?
So, all right. So anyway, so just to recap. So the stat of pillar, Damian Dombrowski took Marlon Mack. I thought about Mack when I was took Darius Geis, but again, want to diversify a little bit. Then Keith took Evan Engram. Field, you very smartly took Vance McDonald. You're stealing all my guys. After that, Pierre Bacquet took Duke Johnson. He mentions that he's backing up his Gordon pick. Lots of wide receivers left for me after Carpenter picks two. And Tom Carpenter does go back-to-back with wide receivers. We're in the end of round six. So round six, pick nine was Duke Johnson.
Nice pick.
Round six, pick 10, Tyler Boyd ends the round. Starting round seven, big Mike Williams goes to Tom Carpenter, and then Pierre does get his wide receiver in Sterling Shepard. Round seven, pick two is Sterling Shepard, which leads us, Field Yates, to you, the third pick of the seventh round.
For my flex position, I go to Alshon Jeffrey, the touchdown maker for the Philadelphia Eagles. This team is going to be loaded offensively, as my friend Mike Clay will often tell you. Alshon Jeffrey's volume may not be significant relative to other wide receivers ranked close to him, but he's got as good of a chance of scoring a touchdown every week as probably anybody else that we're looking at. The Allen Robinsons, Calvin Ridleys, and Sammy Watkins of the world.
Yeah, Duke Johnson is the most interesting guy to me out of quote, that range there. Is just sort of like, because that's a guy that like I think we'll have a lot better sense of his value in
on
a
Tuesday.
Few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. On Tuesday, once we see sort of who's been released today and do the Texans make a move at the running back position, a significant move, not just a depth move, whatever. Yeah. Like, so wide range of outcomes there for Duke Johnson, but certainly getting potentially a starting running back in the seventh round, it's a nice value.
Keith goes Allen Robinson, followed by Tevin Coleman for Damian and Stefania now on the clock.
Yeah, that'll happen.
What was that?
No, just you. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
it
ahead.
Did happen.
A pick?
I made a pick.
And who was it?
Stefania Bell.
Stefania's all proud of herself.
Sanders.
She made a pick.
No, because Daniel's like,
I made a pick. No. I clicked and everything.
Don't you love the way that she's like, yeah, I did it. I made a pick. It's like, yeah, we know you made a pick.
Right.
Please just tell us who it is.
Out. No, I was able to find it on my own.
I made a pick,
I was able
guys.
To make a pick, you guys. Right there on the board.
Look at me. I used it
all by myself. I've got my little iPad out. That's right. I made a pick.
So proud of you.
Let's get her a sticker.
My picks.
Yeah.
Better than yours.
Okay, sure.
Look, you just said to get a potential starting running back in the seventh round. Well,
yeah.
That's what I did in Miles Sanders, and I think that he's going to emerge as the running back who carries the majority of the workload for the Eagles.
There you go. Oh, I'm up.
I was trying to dupe everybody and tell them to be quiet and see if you would just go auto-pick.
Nah,
just sitting there.
Hoping.
Everybody.
Hoping.
Again, so 10-team league. It's a and you know want to go a little YOLO here, you know, just for fun, I'm taking Baker Mayfield. Give me the Bake Show. So I actually have Aaron Rodgers ranked one spot ahead of him. But again, like sometimes you want to root for your team. I just want to have Baker Mayfield on my team. Just want to root for him.
Is the Bake Show an official nickname? Is that a thing?
I just gave it. I don't know. I'm sure other people have called him that as well.
Yeah. Daniel Dopp, you are up next.
I don't think it's original to me, but if it is, I'm happy to claim it. But I don't think it is. I'm sure other people have called him that as well.
All right, Daniel Dopp, you are up before Mike too.
It's not bad.
Yeah, thanks.
Not bad. I'm going to take the Falcons wide receiver you want on your roster in 2019, and that is Calvin Ridley. Listen,
I do love Calvin Ridley.
I do love Calvin Ridley too. All jokes aside,
you're reporting Julio's going to get traded this weekend.
I'm not saying that. I am just saying love the idea of Calvin Ridley playing opposite of Julio Jones, sophomore season, the ability to hopefully take advantage of some single coverage. Obviously had some monster games, but disappeared. So hoping for some growth here in year two from Calvin Ridley.
All right, Mike, you are up before we take a quick break for your second pick.
Yeah, I'm looking at another running back here, and I wanted somebody that has, and I can't stress this enough, no competition for touches, just no viable competition.
Wow.
I mean, he is just the guy.
You were about to experience a barrage.
Clearly the best back on his team. The bar is just way, way low. It's Kenyon Drake, of course, yeah, in Miami. He's the guy, RB14 last year. He's going to see some touchdown regression this year for sure on one hand, in terms of touchdown rate. But on the other hand, I mean, Adam Gase never ran at the goal line. So maybe Drake will get some run in that area, but he is the best back. He's healthy now. He's going to be ready for week one. He's my guy.
I'm sure at the goal line, they're going to go with a guy that isn't the 6'4", 250-pound guy.
They're going to go with a guy that can actually break tackles.
That's interesting. All right, we'll see.
And then we'll come right back.
Prior to me taking Baker Mayfield, by the way, Thirsty Kyle took Philip Lindsay. He went round 7, pick 7.
There you go.
And Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley to Secret Squirrel, Mike Clay, Kenyon Drake, and now the first pick of round 8, Mike.
Yes, I'm going to go with Sammy Watkins here. Believe it or not, in the weeks that Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill were healthy together last season, Hill only out-targeted Watkins by 4 targets. And he was Watkins was wide receiver 16 during those weeks. So again, we're getting into the point of the draft where I don't necessarily need, like, if Watkins misses some time, that's okay. I have my flex filled. I have my wide receiver slots filled. But when he is healthy and ready to go, I can fire him up and get wide receiver 2 numbers in this offense.
Good follow on Twitter as well. He capitalizes every word, doesn't use any grammar, but otherwise looks pretty good. Daniel, what do you got?
Super cool. I am going to go here with the second pick of the 8th round, pick 72. I'm going to take Robbie Anderson.
Hold on. Speaking of Robbie Anderson, Robbie Anderson, all-time best headshot.
Greatest headshot.
Anybody in ESPN.com. That needs to be, if you have not seen it before, go to ESPN.com and find Robbie Anderson's headshot. I'm telling you, it'll be worth the 12 seconds it takes you to find it.
Is it kind of like the old Marshawn Lynch headshot?
No, he's got the exact opposite of that. It looks like his hair, like he plugged his finger into an electrical socket and his hair has been shocked into oblivion.
That is what it looks like.
Nothing will ever beat the Philip Rivers one that was on. If you Google search Philip Rivers all the years with him screaming on the sideline, that was always his image for everything. Nothing will ever touch that.
I like it. Matthew, you're up.
So this is a player that actually is on my hate list, but sometimes the hate goes too far and it's just letting the draft come to you. I mean, it's currently pick 73, right? We're in the 8th round and AJ Green is still out there. Is he going to miss time? Obviously he is, he's a guy that's going to probably miss the first month of the season here, but last year was a top 8 fantasy wide receiver prior to getting hurt. And so giving a guy that's going to get a massive target share and whenever he comes back, as my 4th wide receiver in a 10-team league,
YOLO.
I love that. Yeah, give me that upside. Like, I'm not counting on him. I would not want to go into a season counting on AJ Green. But, again, as a 4th wide receiver in the 8th round, absolutely.
Star Fongamel!
Yeah, I just took my tight end, Jared Cook. So here we are in the 8th round, you know, halfway through the 8th round. And I like Jared Cook on the Saints offense. I think he's going to have a big year. I think, Mike, were you the one we were talking about this? Do you agree with me here?
About Cook?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I thought we were having this conversation yesterday because there's definitely some disagreement. There's some who don't love, they don't think he's going to get enough targets in this offense, but I actually think they brought him in specifically to increase the tight end role in that offense.
prior to Stefania taking Will Fuller, Thirsty Kyle took Will. Prior to you taking Jared Cook, Thirsty Kyle took Will Fuller, another high upside but often injured wide receiver. Statapiller then goes with Dede Westbrook, who I absolutely love. Keith takes Austin Eckler. He does not have Melvin Gordon, though, however. And then Pierre has Melvin Gordon. So Austin Eckler goes in the eighth round, pick 7, which leads us to Field at 8-8.
I took Jarvis Landry, who at one point had the most receptions through the first 4 seasons of a player's career in the NFL. Tremendous volume for many of those years. Obviously, that'll be a little bit different this year with Odell Beckham Jr. That being said, less attention going his way, like Jarvis Landry this year, which leads us to Pierre Paquet taking Aaron Rodgers, a player that he loves because he's a Packers fan as well. That helps. He says, Keith took my obvious pick in Eckler, so instead I will take Aaron Rodgers and the chip on his shoulder. We head over now to Tom Carpenter for a pick to conclude the 9th round before a live read.
Go ahead, Tom Carpenter. Who you got?
Tom Carpenter is going to make a pick.
Tom Carpenter is going to, you know what? Tom Carpenter needs a little bit of time. We're going to filibuster and talk about some undies.
Yeah, okay, well, Stefania, you know, go for it.
There's no time like the middle of a draft to talk about your underwear. So MeUndies is here to change your underwear. Not literally, of course, but it's here to change the way you think about it because they believe undies shouldn't take themselves too seriously. You hear that, Matthew?
I do.
They believe undies should be soft, fit every booty like it was made for every booty. And
can you repeat that? I'm sorry. That part I missed.
Fit every booty like it was made for every booty.
We have that as a cut, right? Yeah.
Have that on tape. Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to need that drop later.
And offer fun patterns that give you the freedom to express yourself. MeUndies also believes that every woman should have the freedom to wear whatever cut they want, in whatever color they want, whatever size they want. So ladies, rejoice. The Feel Free collection is here. MeUndies size tested these 5 new silhouettes on every body type. With an ultra-soft, feather-light waistband that provides zero restriction, these undies will be the best thing that has ever been on your body. Offered in sizes extra small to 4XL. The new Feel Free collection offers an ultra-soft waistband that maximizes comfort with a weightless feel designed with you in mind. They don't just have undies, people. They also have super soft and comfy onesies. I can attest to that. And loungewear, perfect for, well, lounging. And right now, MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because there is a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFF. That's MeUndies.com/FFF.
All right, Carpenter just made his first of 2 picks. Make it 2 of 2 picks. He goes with Tariq Cohen and Darwin Thompson, 2 excellent athlete to the running back spot. Like the value there for Cohen in the back end of the 8th round. And then Darwin Thompson's been generating a lot of buzz here in Kansas City so far this preseason.
Well, he's been generating a lot of buzz in Kansas City, not here in Kansas City. We're not actually in Kansas City.
Matthew,
to be clear, I just don't want anyone to think we're lying. We're in Bristol, Connecticut.
Play.
So there you go. By the way, as long as I'm cleaning stuff up, AJ Green, by the way, last year in the 8 games in which he was healthy, was wide receiver 8 in terms of total points. I sort of mispronounce that stat, so just cleaning that up a little bit. So Marvin Jones Jr. goes to Pierre again at the top of round 9, the second pick of round 9. Marvin Jones Jr. off the board, which leads us to Field Yates.
And I go with Emmanuel Sanders. Just made a miracle comeback from that Achilles tear last December, already back, basically participated in all of training camp, played a little bit this preseason, showed some promise. Remember, the Broncos begin Week 1 against the Oakland Raiders right here on Monday Night Football on ESPN.
Nice. So, there you go.
Took you a couple shows, but you found it.
Field, after you take Emmanuel Sanders, a little bit of a quarterback run here is not cool. Keith takes Matt Ryan, and Carson Wentz goes to Damian, the Statapiller, there in the middle of round 5. I'm sorry, middle of round 9, picks 4 and 5 in the middle of round 9. Again, just goes to show you how long you can wait on quarterback. Getting Wentz and Ryan in the middle of round 9 is crazy. Stefania, you're up.
Oh, I just drafted Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel is a player I like. Anybody who's been listening to podcasts knows I've been talking him up. I just spoke with somebody, Carolina, 2 days ago, and they said, yep, the hype is still there. They still really believe that people are not appreciating the kind of season that he could potentially have if he can stay healthy. That has been a challenge for him in the past, but very strong camp. I love Curtis Samuel.
So after you take Curtis Samuel, Thirsty Kyle takes Latavius Murray, which is an absolutely great pick. He's going to be Mark Ingram this year. There's no question about that. He's going to get a lot of work. I think people are thinking it's just going to be the entire Kamara show. It's not. He's going to have Mark Ingram's role, and to get him in the ninth round, a guy that could potentially get 10 touchdowns this year is unbelievable. I make sure with Todd Gurley, I want to make sure I get Daryl Henderson. So I pick him in the ninth round. He will see an increase. I think he has standalone value, and obviously he has increased value if anything were to happen to Gurley. I don't think he's the true handcuff. I think that's Malcolm Brown, but it's a little too early for Brown. I'm sure Fields will take him in the next pick. Anyway, Secret Squirrel, you're up.
On the clock, looking here, my running backs currently Le'Veon Bell, Joe Mixon, and Derrick Henry. I think I'm going to solidify it and take one more guy here. Royce Freeman. Royce Freeman did some things to me last year that I didn't really care for.
Very selfish of him.
Yeah, but the idea that still, second-year running back, drafted in the third round last year, big body guy that's going to get some run. Obviously, he's not, you know, there's going to be some time there with Philip Lindsay, but big fan of Royce Freeman here in the ninth round.
Mike Clay for two starts it off with.
Let's go. I'm going, by the way, Matthew said fantasy is supposed to be fun, right?
Yep.
Fun? Yes. It is fun? All right, well, I'm going to have some fun here and take a guy, excuse me, that I love this year as a sleeper in the middle rounds. I'm going to go a little early in round 9 with James Washington. A lot of targets opened up in this Steelers offense. He has a chance to be the number 2. I know Dante Moncrief will probably start in that role, but there's tremendous upside for Washington. And by the way, they've been mixing him in the slot during the preseason. If they can get him in there in that Juju Smith-Schuster role with Smith-Schuster playing outside, there's just a ton to like. And an offense, by the way, that was pass-heaviest in the league last year and set a franchise record for touchdowns did the Steelers. I'm excited for Washington. I think he has wide receiver 2 upside.
And your second one?
My second one, I'm going to do it again. Let's keep having fun here. Michael Gallup. I'm going to be working opposite Amari Cooper, one of my favorite picks in last year's draft. Love the landing spot. In fact, if they didn't trade for Amari Cooper, the hype would be crazy for this guy. A lot of near misses with Dak Prescott on deep throws last season there in Dallas. And again, I mentioned earlier, I think Dak Prescott will set a career high for passing touchdowns this season. So Washington and Gallup, 2 sleepers I love.
Daniel's on the clock, and we're going to try to get through round 10 here, which we are in, before we get to a couple players that were missed in this year's draft. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time here. Looking at the quarterbacks, there's still quite a few left. I don't think that I will leave this mock draft as far as what we have on air with a quarterback, because I think I would probably wait another round or two. So looking at that, I'm looking at my flex play, and I kind of like the idea of going with Christian Kirk here.
Nice.
10th round, 2nd pick. You know, somebody's got to come in and catch passes there. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald, new offense with Kyler Murray. Do I really have to defend, you know, the upside of Christian Kirk in the 10th round here?
No, I hear that offense is going to be good because this quarterback is special.
I heard that quarterback is really good.
I don't know who I remember said that, but he's a special player.
Really special quarterback.
Mel Kiper Jr. Matthew Berry's on the clock for his final pick of what will be our mock draft exercise. What do you got, bud?
He's not listening because he was concentrating.
I know, that's what it looks like. It's so weird. So we're talking about sort of sleepers here. You know, a guy that I really like, Mike, and I know you've been on him since he came out of college, and that's Rashad Penny. Look, you guys know I've been banging the drum for Chris Carson, and I think Chris Carson has a monster year, but there's still going to be a lot of touches there for Rashad Penny, who they want to use in the passing game. It's literally Tyler Lockett and a bunch of question marks here. So Rashad Penny, who would be a top 10 fantasy running back if anything happened to Carson, and he's dealt with injuries in his career, and still overall almost 150 touches left when Mike Davis went to Chicago. So I think Rashad Penny sees a significant increase in touches this year, even while Carson has a big year. So Penny, one of my favorite late round targets.
Here we go. Bringing on Kyle Zappi takes Matt Breida, much to the chagrin of Stefania Bell, who's now on the clock.
I'm so angry. Kyle, we cannot be friends.
Sorry.
No, you're not sorry, because if you were sorry, you wouldn't have done it. And you know that I love my Niners. I mean, at least Damian properly apologized. And he actually didn't even take George Kittle.
So
he
I'm using his apology to cover me.
No, well, you know what?
You get one apology.
So one good turn deserves another. I just drafted Kalen Ballage.
Whoa.
Kalen Ballage. Wow. Much to Mike's dismay. Mike's been all over Kalen Ballage.
You know, Mike loves Kalen Ballage.
Damian Dabrowski on for his final pick of this year's mock draft. What say you, Damian? You take Tony Pollard, smart
Tony
pick.
Pollard.
He did not take Zeke, but Keith did. So Keith was one pick behind Damian. He's got Clarkson right there.
Sniping.
Well, you know what? And I will just say this real quickly. If you have Ezekiel Elliott, you need to reach for Tony Pollard. Like, we're in the 10th round. Like, honestly, I think Keith should have taken Pollard, like, in the 7th. Like, I've seen him going in the seventh or eighth.
We Stefania and I talked about this before the show, and we agreed on round 9, and he went in round 10. So if he took him last round, he would have had him.
Would have gotten him.
Yeah,
I honestly,
you've taken our advice, Keith.
I would have reached for him in round 7 or 8, to be honest. Because I've seen him go in round 8. I've seen him go in round 7. I've seen other people on Twitter saying they've seen him go in round 6.
Well, this is a little too crazy.
It's a 10 teamer. So right, but. Honestly, if I was Keith, I would have round 7 or 8. I would have tried to make sure I get Tony Pollard.
So we get down to our last few picks here, Keith. What say you?
What say me is that he just took my pick. I will pivot and I will just go with MVS. I'll take Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Valdes-Scantling, lot to like there. I like players to see a ton of targets. I know that the efficiency was really poor last year, but Corey Davis keeps flashing stardom. At some point, Corey Davis is going to come through.
This is year three.
This is the light switch year for Corey Davis. We have two more picks, Pierre Bacquet, 99, and Tom Carpenter, 100. And then Matthew, we are going to ask you for 3 names that stand out that were not drafted in the first 10 rounds. And Pierre, by the way, goes with LeSean McCoy, noting it's not sexy, but he could be the starting running back for either the Bills or a team in Texas by next week. Of course, an allusion to the Houston Texans. And Tom Carpenter wraps up our proceedings with Cam Newton, his quarterback. Now, Matthew, a couple of sleepers or things that might stand out to you.
Yeah, so I'll give you just quickly, I'll just go through position by position very quickly. Quarterback, Breeze, Big Ben, Russell Wilson still out there, Kyler Murray, who I have high, Jared Goff, who was a top 10 fantasy quarterback, still out there, Dak still out there, Lamar Jackson still out there. So again, the position just so crazy deep. Think about running back here. Jordan Howard still out there. It's going to be a committee there. Jordan Howard, at least 9 rushing touchdowns the last 2 years. Devin Singletary still out there. I think he's the starter in Buffalo sooner rather than later. Justice Hill, Jalen Samuels, Justin Jackson, who's going to be half of that squad there. I already mentioned, and Ty Johnson in Detroit. It's sort of interesting. Love Alexander Mattis as a sleeper as well in Minnesota. Wide receiver, some guys that I like, deeper league guys, Jamison Crowder, or deeper round guys. Jamison Crowder is still out there. Dante Moncrief, Anthony Miller, Geronimo Allison in Green Bay, Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin in the Ravens. And I think the hate on Dante Pettis has gone too far, Stefania. Like, I know Shanahan is trying to motivate him, and we've heard he's had a bad camp. But still, I think he's the most, especially with the injury to Trent Taylor, I think he's the most likely leading receiver for the 49ers, at least early on. And then finally, at tight end, Delanie Walker and Jack Doyle still out there. Jordan Reed still out there. Greg Olsen. So older guys, but have been productive in their career, and their injury risk is baked into their current ADP. And of course, you guys know I love me some Darren Waller. By the way, I heard some great stuff about TJ Hockenson yesterday from an NFL insider, Daniel, who was telling me Hockenson is catching everything in camp and they love him. I'm going to have to move Hockenson up my ranks. I think he's going to be more involved than people realize.
I think they realized after their last first-round tight end that he should catch the ball when it's thrown to him.
Yes.
So they were... Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
Getting the digs in.
This was a ton of fun. Thank you, everyone, for doing this. Also, go to ramsheadlive.com. Oh, Fields got to turn his microphone on. Hold on. It's his first time in the studio.
Visit us in Baltimore. The date of the show is September 17th. We would love to see you there. Remember, we are not here on Monday. It's Labor Day weekend. No one's laboring. But the good news is this. There could be a ton of NFL news to recap.
Oh,
and when we come back on Tuesday, you know what it is? Game week, baby, for Matthew, Stefania, Mike. Kyle, Keith, Daniel, Tom, Pierre, Damien, I'm Field. Talk to you guys Tuesday.
Peace out!